Orange skies, homes in flames in the west, flooded streets, battered homes in the south. It's climate change we can see, warming waters and drought, fuel fires and hurricanes. Today, what we can't often see, but doctors are calling a full-blown public health crisis, a story that's part of our Covering Climate Now, a week-long global journalism collaboration. Dr. Neelu Tummala practices medicine at George Washington University Hospital. Dr. Tummala, start by telling us about a grandmother you treated who was caring for her infant grandchild.
So this grandmother that I saw during one of the July heat waves, she's another face of the climate crisis. She came in, she was late, she seemed very flustered, and she said they don't have air conditioning at their house, and she said that it was just too hot, so she decided to go to the train station to walk around this inside of the train station until it closed just to be able to keep her grandchild cool because she was concerned about the child overheating.
And is that a real concern? Can you, in your bed in an apartment, can a child get dehydrated or overheat?
Yeah, so the impacts of heat on our health are very wide. You know, heat is one of the deadliest natural disasters. And the last 10 years are the hottest decade on record, and these extended periods of heat exposure can compromise the body's ability to regulate temperature. It can lead to heat cramps, heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and even death. And a lot of times these temperature extremes can worsen chronic conditions, including cardiovascular and respiratory conditions. Impacts of heat on children starts at the prenatal level with premature birth rates and increased pregnancy complications. And then as children get older and become more active, their bodies produce heat faster than adults do, but they can't get rid of it as quickly because they don't sweat as much as adults. And a lot of times they also cannot communicate what they're feeling. So for example, dizziness and nausea may be signs of heat exhaustion, but if your child is not able to communicate that well, it can be a challenging situation.
Well, and then if they're an infant, they can't communicate it that well. And we know how hot it is. I mean, July 2019, as you write in a recent piece in Scientific American, was the hottest July on record. September 2019, the hottest on record. January 2020, the hottest January on record. May 2020, the hottest on record. You say this is no coincidence. It's a pattern. It's from greenhouse gases contributing to global warming. And I'm thinking that's here in the United States. You have a grandmother walking around a train station trying to cool off an infant in the middle of the night. How are you hearing from other doctors around the world? What is happening to children around the world?
Right. Many of the countries that contribute least to global warming run the risk of being the most affected. So rural villages that tend to rely on local water supplies and agricultural lands are being heavily affected. This year, between 75 and 250 million people on the continent of Africa are projected to be exposed to increased water stress due to climate change, and global warming of 2 degrees Celsius would put over 50% of the continent's population at risk of undernourishment.
Well, let's stay global. And I'm sure this is an issue in the U.S. as well, but what about waterborne illness because of climate change?
Right. So worldwide, you know, factors like flooding, which is associated with higher sea levels, and intensified hurricanes, which are often powered by the impacts of climate change. I mean, we're dealing with this right now here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. These are contributing to a more moist environment, which allows things like mold to grow more readily in households. You know, molds are associated with worsening allergy symptoms and can be a cause of asthma attacks. And the climate crisis is also an issue of climate justice. And so people who live in cramped apartments or where the housing infrastructure does not allow adequate protection from moisture, they're definitely more susceptible to the health impacts of these waterborne illnesses.
This can happen in rural areas as well, where you get flooding. It promotes algae, bacteria, toxic agents in the water. And you remind us of how this happened here in the United States. Humans are being affected by this around the world, but here in the U.S., dogs were.
Definitely, yeah. So climate change is transforming the aquatic ecosystems. So as coastal waters experience progressive warming, which includes acidification and deoxygenation, harmful algae blooms are appearing. So I believe it was last year when dog owners in some parts of the country were warned to keep their pets out of the waters after some dogs died due to swimming in these contaminated waters, which is terrible.
Yeah. Well, you know, so are little children, you know, going into the contaminated waters. It's like you're really reminding us. We think we know about air and climate change, that, you know, maybe there's more pollen in the air. It's harder to breathe for people who have compromised immune systems or asthma. How much is air quality being impacted by climate change?
So it's an interesting time to talk about air quality, obviously, with the wildfires on the West Coast. And I'm based in Washington, D.C., and, you know, there's been recent evidence that some of the wildfire smoke from the West Coast has made its way to D.C. One of the things that's really challenging with poor air quality is that it affects so many parts of our bodies. It can affect lung growth, and it can also affect people who have chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases, such as asthma. It can affect cardiovascular health, leading to an increased risk of heart disease. It can increase your risk of stroke. But it's also now increasingly being linked to premature birth rates and cognitive dysfunction. But one of the concerns with the climate crisis is because you can't see it, people tend to be less likely to act on it. And that's why we haven't seen as much aggressive action on the climate crisis as it needs.
What about vector-borne diseases, you know, insects, mosquitoes, fleas, and ticks? We can only imagine what happens when things get warmer and you see more of them.
Right, whether it's malaria, dengue, Lyme disease, or West Nile virus. Mm. So Lyme disease is the most common tick-borne disease here in North America. So the tick responsible for Lyme disease is highly dependent on climate patterns, and the geographic range of the tick vector has expanded westward from the Northeast United States as well as southward year after year.
What about mental health? We spoke last year with a psychiatrist who was traveling internationally and locally, running programs for kids traumatized by climate-related events. Can't imagine some of the apocalyptic images we've seen, Australia's fires, our own fires here, flooding around the world. How is climate change affecting mental health that you see?
So, you know, this is really challenging. I actually have a colleague on the West Coast who was telling me that during the wildfires, she has a 2-year-old daughter, and she had to make the decision between keeping the windows open to keep the 94-degree temperature in her daughter's room cool versus closing the window to be able to protect her daughter from the wildfire smoke. And, you know, just sort of thinking about the anxiety and stress of a mom trying to make that decision, respiratory health versus risking heat stress. And, you know, the impacts of heat on like depression, anxiety, suicidal tendencies, these are all really well documented. As we see these increasing intensities of natural disasters, a lot of mental health providers are seeing increased rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. And one of the other things I think that's being increasingly talked about also is eco-anxiety. People are very concerned about what does that mean for future generations? What does that mean for our planet? What does that mean for the future?
Well, you have set up a frightening scenario. Dr. Neela Tumala of George Washington University Hospital, her recent article in Scientific American is What Climate Change Does to the Human Body. We'll link it here now.org. Dr. Tumala, Neela, thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin. And the one thing I want to say that I didn't mention is vote. Voting this November is so important. Voting for people who prioritize green policy is really important. The climate crisis is a public health crisis, and it demands our collective climate action.